At Ability Chiropractic, we believe every child deserves to grow up healthy, strong, and connected to the incredible power within their own body. From infants to adults, our doctors specialize in purposeful chiropractic care that restores balance between the brain and body, helping you and your family live and heal the way you were designed to, naturally. Families across Columbus are choosing to build lifelong wellness from the start. Discover what true health feels like at Ability Chiropractic. Schedule your visit today at abilitychiro.com.
Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Scott Wetzel and Ben Stevens.
Another day live right here on Football Full Circle, all across the Sports Grid Radio Network. It is FFC, and it's another day to go around OTAs around the National Football League. We love at this point of the offseason calendar in late May when we have football to discuss on a daily basis with the guys back at the practice facilities, back on the practice field, Scott, sure in helmets and shorts, but we get to hear them speak with the media and meet with reporters for the first time in a while. So some of the offseason storylines that we monitor and that we follow for the entirety of the offseason, also being tracked and spoken about by the players themselves. We go to Dallas today. We'll hear from Detroit, where Dan Campbell was at the podium just about 20 minutes ago. We will talk about quarterback physique and quarterback deals in terms of everything we have today on Football Full Circle.
Yeah, and one of the teams, no doubt, we'll get into a little bit. We heard from Anthony Richardson yesterday. You know, Ben, there's two teams. You know, this time of the year, it's a lot of fun in that I know there's not a lot going on, but in a lot of ways, it's a lot of fun. We're all kind of searching who's that Cinderella team that no one's expecting to rise up and be the one out of the Houston Texans last year. And, you know, I was looking at the Indianapolis Colts. They're one of two teams. We'll get to the other one maybe in a second. But, you know, with Anthony Richardson, people forget he did play four games last year, and they were 2-2 last year, and they did not only beat the Houston Texans, everyone's Cinderella team, but they actually won in Houston. So, you know, obviously he gets hurt, Gardner Minshew comes in, they get a step away from making the playoffs, but they don't. But, you know, could they be that team that, you know, nobody's talking about the Indianapolis Colts, right? But yeah, they got a pretty good team. Their defense needs a little work, clearly, but they still got a great 1-2 combination with Taylor and Pittman, wide receiver, running back, and what we saw out of Richardson last year was promising. Maybe they could be the team that thinks that it's a surprising step this year.
Yeah, absolutely so, Scott. It's why I think the AFC South is one of the more intriguing divisions in all of football. We'll get to AR back on the practice field, throwing the football around, but still saying the recovery from shoulder surgery is taking a little bit of time. But I think we have to start in Dallas. One of the stars at the Star is Dak Prescott. Was asked, Scott, about his offseason contract ongoing negotiations with Dallas, saying, quote, "I know my business will take care of itself, just controlling what I can control." When asked further for a follow-up, why has he exhibited such patience in trying to get this new deal? Dak Prescott simply said, quote, "I don't play for money." End quote. Dak Prescott's contract situation is thus. He signed a four-year, $160 million extension back in the 2021 NFL offseason. At the time, one of the highest paid quarterbacks in the National Football League. Now $40 million a year is Daniel Jones money. So Dak Prescott is due for plenty, plenty more. That contract, Scott, runs through the end of 2024, which is why the Dallas Cowboys and Dak Prescott and his representation looking to come to a new deal at a certain point this offseason.
Yeah, you know, he's got the attitude, and I like it, Ben. He has the attitude that you and I and most people have, it seems like. They didn't ask him this specifically, but to me, he's got the attitude of, listen, I'm finishing a $160 million contract. I have enough money right now for my kids' kids' kids to not have to work a day in their lives. So whatever I get from here on, just I'm going to get something. So whatever happens to me, it happens to me, versus fretting over, all right, I want to be the top quarterback, or I want to get paid $50 million, $60 million, and I deserve it. You know, he just had this cavalier attitude of like, all right, you know what, it's great. In fact, he was more concerned with the fact of extra pressure being put on Dallas because the Texas Rangers win the World Series, right? And that's Arlington right outside of Dallas. And you got the Dallas Stars and the Dallas Mavericks obviously trying for NBA and NHL championships. So that the Dallas Cowboys could be, you know, left out in the cold. He was more concerned about that. But I do like his attitude. I don't like his playoff game, you know, but I actually like Dak. And, you know, he's like I said, he doesn't come across as a pompous, I want the most money, this, that, what have you. It's just, it is what it is. I'll play this season and I'll get my money next year. And he will. And even if he didn't, even if he got injured and didn't play another down, like I said before, he's made enough money to last 5,000 lifetimes. So good for him to kind of have that attitude.
Yeah, and it is really interesting as well, Scott, when you think about Dak Prescott, because you can debate Dak's ceiling. You can debate if he is one of the 10 best quarterbacks in the National Football League. You can debate if Dak Prescott is the correct quarterback to snap what has been nearly three decades of postseason non-success or postseason failures, probably the better way to say it, for this Dallas Cowboys organization. Of course, since their last Lombardi Trophy in 1995, 13 playoff trips for the Cowboys, never passed the divisional round, never even playing in the NFC Championship game. And Dak has been there for a good majority of what we have seen the last decade. Now, when it comes to Dak Prescott's ceiling, it's different than his overall contract situation. Scott, we are seeing at this current day and age, as we have discussed throughout this offseason, inflation to the nth degree at every position in the National Football League, but mainly at the quarterback position as well. Last offseason, Joe Burrow signed the five-year, $275 million extension with Cincinnati, $55 million per year, highest paid player in National Football League history. This offseason, Jared Goff, four-year extension worth $212 million. That's $53 million per year on an annual average basis. There has been some thought, or at least speculation, Scott, that somebody, one of the quarterbacks due for an extension this offseason, is going to tip the scales to $60 million. Could it be Dak?
It could. I think it will. I really do. If he wants the most money. Like, if the Cowboys come to him and say, all right, we're going to offer you $50 million, that's it. And Dak says, you know what, sorry, I want the most money. Dak Prescott on the open market, man, he'll get $60 million. And again, we can have the debate on whether it's worth it, whether he'll ever win a Super Bowl. But the bottom line is, him on an open market with so many teams needing quarterbacks and so few really good quarterbacks, he probably is top 10. He really is. When you start to think about how many really good quarterbacks there are in the NFL, there aren't that many. You know, he's in that, you know, Derek Carr, you know, Kirk Cousins class, and those guys are basically right around 8, 9, 10, 11 top quarterbacks in the NFL. So, and you may think, okay, eventually it's got to stop, right? It's got to stop, right? No, it doesn't have to stop. You know, it's not going to stop because the salary cap is never going down. The NFL, Ben, is only making more and more and more money. So I don't think for a second this is really going to stop. So $60 million, $70 million eventually, I think it's going to continue to go up because the more money the NFL makes, the more they got to give the players, the more salary cap space you have, and more important the quarterback position is going to be.
For sure. I think Dak Prescott is going to be the first quarterback. Well, whoever gets to the finish line first, could it be Dak Prescott? Could it be a Trevor Lawrence? But I think one of the quarterbacks this offseason will agree to a $60 million per year annual average salary for the quarterback spot, setting a new record in the National Football League. And to your point, Scott, as cap space continues to grow, so too then do the salaries that the players within the National Football League can accrue. Each and every offseason, we talk about a record amount of this or a record amount of that. That means bigger dollars and bigger bucks for players around the National Football League, and no player or position more important than the quarterback spot. Scott, when you look at the Dallas Cowboys, just to have that conversation quickly, I always say I would have bet my worst enemy's money on the Cowboys' price to win the NFC Championship, seeing as they haven't even played in the game since 1995. But every year, Dallas tops in the top five in terms of the odds, often within the top three, where Dallas is right now. Plus 650 for the Cowboys to win the NFC, third best price behind the Niners, who are a short favorite at plus 250. The Detroit Lions have the second best number at 6-1. What's your outlook like for Dallas this year, Scott? Do you think there's a higher ceiling maybe than normal for the Cowboys?
I don't think so, right? I don't know how anyone could realistically, you could be the biggest Cowboy fan in the world, and I don't know how you necessarily think this team, the way it's constructed right now, is going to be better than last year's team. So, no, that's just, I think that's a public number. Everyone loves Dallas. They want to all bet on Dallas, so they're going to make the number lower. They don't have to make it as high.
Yeah. I mean, listen, the Cowboys are going to win double-digit games. The Cowboys are more than likely going to be a playoff team. Am I going to tell you the Dallas Cowboys are going to do anything with it come the postseason? Absolutely not. We're back on Football Full Circle up next, live right here on Sports Grid Radio.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Scott Wetzel and Ben Stevens.
Live right here on FFC, it is Football Full Circle. So from Dallas to Detroit, we go now from the Cowboys to the Lions, two of the three top prices to win the NFC this upcoming season, trailing the San Francisco 49ers, who are the short favorites at plus 250. And it's not often, Scott, that in the last 20 or so years in the National Football League, we have entered an NFL campaign where the Lions have the second best number to win a conference title. But that's where things stand currently within the NFC. In fact, Dan Campbell was asked about a half an hour ago for OTAs in the Motor City about these sky-high expectations once again for the Lions. Some reporters said, in so many words, is this year considered Super Bowl or bust? Dan Campbell replied, I don't worry about the bust. All I see is the Super Bowl. Scott, of course, last year, Detroit won its first divisional championship in three decades, won its first playoff game in 32 years, made it to the NFC title game for the first time in 32 seasons, and had a 17-point lead on the San Francisco 49ers before things went drastically wrong in that second half. But for the good, which was getting to a place Detroit had not been in three decades, there is a ton of optimism for the Lions once again. What do you think Detroit does for a follow-up?
It's good. You know, I think they're going to be okay. I really do. Out of all the, didn't necessarily label them Cinderella, but they were basically a Cinderella team. They didn't make the playoffs the year before, right? They you know, had that in front of them, and they walked through the door, if you will. They're the ones that no one really seems to really question about whether they're going to be good again this upcoming season. And they probably will be good, right? Division, Minnesota, we don't know what we're getting. We really don't know what we're getting out of Chicago. Green Bay should be good, but they're going to be a playoff team in the end. NFC, we know that. And, you know, if people have asked me, you know, what do you think they need to do to make the next step and then, you know, get to the Super Bowl, maybe win it? I don't think it's on the field, Ben. I really don't. I think the thing the Lions have to improve is on the sidelines. I mean, you said it, that game was theirs. You know, if he doesn't, you know, pull a bone cramp there with his brain, they win that football game. So I don't think it's the players playing any better. I think it's the coaching staff coaching better. You know, you can't go for two when you can tie the game at one in a big game, or screw up like they did with the Dallas Cowboys, or neglect to go for field goals when you're up 17 because you think you want to tack on more points, and all the goofy things that the Lions did. You can't do that and play winning football in the NFL. There's just too many good teams. You can get away with that against certain teams, but you can't get away with it against the really good teams in the playoffs. And they had a game that they should have won. They should have won that San Fran game. It was there for the taking. And, you know, they, like I said, they screw up in the second half and make decisions that didn't make any sense whatsoever. Yeah. So that's where they got to get better.
And listen, those are going to be the questions that Dan Campbell has to face the entirety of this upcoming season. It's going to be what he is asked about each and every time. And Scott, no doubt that those two fourth down decisions in the third and in the fourth quarter against the San Francisco 49ers with a berth in a Super Bowl on the line are going to be following around this Lions team at any juncture. And those are questions that still need to be answered. Now, I have said multiple times, that's who Detroit is. That is who Dan Campbell is. It is part of the reason that the Detroit Lions played in the NFC title game. But Scott is also correct. You can't cough up opportunities. You can't leave points on the board, especially at the most elite level in the National Football League as well. There has to be some harmony there because you can get away with it in the regular season. It can bring you to that stage, and not that you need to alter your philosophy or your mentality because of what gets you to that area in that most significant spot. But you do need to then capitalize on the situation. And that's what Detroit did not. So, yes, there are questions about Dan Campbell in his mentality, but I think he's the right guy for the job in the Motor City. And outside of the head coach, Scott, a big question for this Detroit coaching staff this offseason was who are they going to have at offensive coordinator after Ben Johnson was presumably going to go to Washington or any other of the NFL openings that desperately wanted his services. In fact, he remains in the Motor City. Probably the best offseason acquisition Detroit could have made, keeping Ben Johnson in-house. Aaron Glenn, the defensive coordinator, who saw huge improvement in the run game year over year from 2022 to this previous season in 2023, is back under Dan Campbell as well. Scott, it's not often when you have a team that has as much success as Detroit did a year ago with these young up-and-coming coordinators on either side of the football that neither of them get a head coaching job and both return. So Detroit does bring back some congruency year over year.
Yeah, and not to mention, you know, signing Jared Goff to the long-term contract and get that issue set aside. So they really, you know, I don't know how long they'd be able to hold on to those guys, especially if they had as much success the next season as they had this past year. But as far as continuity is concerned, yep, everything came up roses for the Lions. It really did. It's amazing. You know, nice little draft, help themselves out a little bit. They keep their coordinators, which is not easy to do, especially nowadays. And you sign your big quarterback to a long-term extension. So you're solid there. It is all there for the taking for the Lions. But again, the thing that dismayed me most last year is he didn't really admit he made a mistake, Dan Campbell. You know, and I'll give him a pass if he said something to the effect of, I got caught up in the moment and looking back, yeah, that really was dumb. We should have kicked those field goals. We shouldn't have gone for it. You know, what are we doing there? But he didn't, Ben. You know, he doubled down on his stupidity, you know, and just said, that's who we are. And I hear that phrase all the time, that's who you are. Yeah, that's who you are. That works when it works out. But when it doesn't work out, who you are is dumb. You know, it's just right. Not smart football in those situations. And again, you're going to be able to get away with that and create a little karma and create a little loss against the world and all that other stuff. But eventually, he's got to go back to normal, smart football because these games are based on one possession, one play when you get into the postseason. And I don't have confidence at this point in Dan Campbell being able to come up big.
Yeah, but Scott, I would just say for Dan Campbell, I don't think he believes he's making an excuse or giving an answer that is incorrect. He believes in his own credo. He believes in the mentality that he has. And so I don't think he needed to offer an explanation from that perspective or admit a mistake because I don't think he thinks it is a mistake. Whether or not somebody feels it is for Dan Campbell, for this Detroit team, all the players in that locker room back the decisions that they made in the second half to not kick the field goals and to go for it on fourth. That's their belief within the Lions organization. More to come up next year on Football Full Circle.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Scott Wetzel and Ben Stevens.
Live right here on Football Full Circle, it is FFC. Now, Scott, over to the other conference and where we started some of our conversation today. Anthony Richardson, about to enter his second year in the National Football League, but you really could argue it's his first full season or his first rookie year done over again. Four games last year, but only completed two of them. And there were flashes for Anthony Richardson at the quarterback position in Shane Steichen's offense for a Colts team that ended last year with a winning record despite having their backup quarterback in Gardner Minshew, a serviceable backup to say the least, be that guy at the QB spot, leading them into that regular season finale, week 18 against the Texans, where if the Colts won that game and it was close, maybe it would have been Indianapolis, who we talked about as our surprise team from a season ago, capitalizing on that momentum this offseason. I am fascinated, Scott, to see the AFC South in general, and I think the Colts are the biggest piece that could either make this division one of the best in the National Football League, one to keep an eye on, or could just be where it's a battle between the Jags and the Texans, and Houston probably has the edge.
Yeah, it's weird. It went from, you know, maybe the worst division in football last season going in to now, you know, maybe being one of the best, or at least one of the more competitive anyway. I am intrigued. You know, if people, rightfully so to a certain extent, put, you know, the Houston Texans above everybody else. But, you know, Ben, the Texans were only 10-7 last year. You know, great from what they were 2 years ago and all that. But I think when people talk Texans football and C.J. Stroud and this team won 11, 12 games last year, it's going to be the greatest thing in the world. They were 10-7, guys. You know, to take it, they're 10-7, and now they got a first-place schedule, and now they got a target on their back. So it is open to having someone else walk through that door. And I think the Colts are the interesting one. You know, 9-8, you know, did Gardner Minshew carry them to 9-8, or was he just a facilitator to a 9-8 team that is very good on offense and, you know, defensively suspect? They gave it the fifth most points in the NFL last year, 415. So they got, you know, obviously they need to work on defense, but, you know, if Gardner Minshew can bring him to 9-8, then what can hopefully a healthy Anthony Richardson do? Maybe get to 10-7 or even 11-6.
Absolutely so. And Scott, I think when you look at Indianapolis, and the Texans were in a similar spot last year, rookie head coach coming over with a rookie quarterback who was drafted in the top four. That when we entered last year, the Texans and the Colts win totals were 6.5 respectively. To Scott's point, Houston won double-digit games. The Texans win total now expects double digits again. 9.5, the over has the juice at -150. Indianapolis a little bit more modest. 8.5 is the win total for AR in the Colts entering 2024. And the under has the juice at -118. An 8-9 team in this 17-game regular season schedule is not necessarily something to write home about, and would be a step back by a game to be under 500 as opposed to the team that finished with a winning record a season ago. I just don't know if they're going to be a team with a losing record. I think there's a lot to like in Indianapolis. I think there's a lot to like in Anthony Richardson, who I questioned entering last year. Could he develop from the quarterback that we saw with flashes and freakish athleticism at Florida, but with a 53.8% completion percentage in his only full year as a starter for the Gators? And how would that step look in the National Football League? It's still a sample size that is kind of unwritten at this moment. Again, Anthony Richardson played in four games, but only completed two. That included week number one, and then the first weekend of October once he returned from an injury. That first weekend of October, they took the Rams into OT. They ended up losing that game 11 of 25, so not great there from the completion percentage standpoint for 200 yards, but two touchdowns, no INTs, and then 56 yards on the ground and a rushing score. In fact, Scott, he had four rushing touchdowns in only four games a year ago. Three passing scores to only one INT. There is a lot to like, but a lot that is just frankly unrealized because Anthony Richardson wasn't healthy a year ago.
Yeah, and now, you know, one of the great benefits of him coming out of college is he can throw the football a country mile, as the saying goes, right? But now he's got shoulder soreness, which he still says he has. You know, he's not quite 100%. So that's a little bit of a concern. Don't forget who they signed this offseason as a backup. If things don't work out, or if the Colts feel like, okay, you know what, AR, you got to, you know, sit the bench a little while longer, and that's one Joe Flacco. Right. So could he can duplicate the magic he had with the Browns? You know, if need be, you never know. But if he does, then holding on to that Colts ticket is a little bit more attractive.
Well, look at the AFC South divisional odds. Again, it could be a make or break division this year all around the National Football League based on perception, and then keep it rolling on Football Full Circle after that. An 18-game regular season? Roger Goodell might think so. Up next on Football Full Circle.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Scott Wetzel and Ben Stevens.
Live right here on Football Full Circle, it is FFC. So with the return of a healthy Anthony Richardson, maybe his first fully healthy year of his National Football League career, despite being drafted in 2023, the AFC South could be one of the more compelling and complex divisions that we have in the NFL entering this upcoming season. Of course, Scott, the most optimistic team in this division, that's the Houston Texans, booked as the favorites, nearly even money, plus 105. At this point last year, it was the Jaguars as the optimistic team in this division and maybe all of the conference. Jacksonville, second best price at plus 270. We have spoken about what Indy could be capable of with Anthony Richardson as its starting quarterback, plus 330 for the Colts. Those three teams with some promise, all separated by just over $3. And then the Titans, the fourth and longest price, an 8-1 number on Tennessee. But not a huge gap between the favorite in Houston and the longest number in Tennessee. Scott, again, I think it could make a case that is the AFC South for the most compelling division in football in 2024.
Yeah, I really do. You know, unless we get something from Tennessee, they're probably not going to play a factor. But you never know with all the additions they made if Will Levis can step up. But otherwise, it's, you know, I could see just as many people thinking Jacksonville's going to win. That's where I'm going to put my ticket. I am a little surprised, Ben, at the difference. Right? Aren't you? I mean, to me, Houston, Jacksonville, okay. I definitely see Indianapolis being third and Tennessee obviously a distant fourth. But I don't think plus 105 Houston versus plus 270. 70 Jacksonville, like the difference between Baltimore and Cincinnati, two close teams, 140, 170 each way. That's pretty darn close, right? Difference between Miami and Buffalo, pretty close teams, right? 160, 185. I don't get where Jacksonville is plus 270 and Houston is that much of an overwhelming favorite at plus 105 only.
Yeah, listen, I bet the Jacksonville Jaguars, Scott, when this market became available and the prices were a lot closer, it was plus 190 Houston, plus 200 for Jacksonville. That was before the trade for Stephon Diggs and some of the other offseason moves the Texans made. And they made some really good ones in terms of who they were able to acquire this offseason. They built up the defensive line. Danielle Hunter coming over from Minnesota. Danico Autry, a veteran on the interior. And, of course, the big move for Stephon Diggs. That really separated this market. I don't believe there's that large of a gap. And I do think it bears repeating, right? Revisionist history is always there. But the Jaguars were a minus 1,000 favorite entering the final month and a half of this NFL season in 2023 to win said division. Now, the Jacksonville Jaguars only have themselves to blame and a banged up Trevor Lawrence, who really wasn't fully healthy probably from December and on, stumbled down the stretch. Jacksonville lost five of their final six games last season to lose the AFC South, to open up the door for the Houston Texans or the Indianapolis Colts to take advantage, and that's exactly what they did. But the Jacksonville Jaguars are a contender in this division. We should not already price Houston like they've won this division before the year even gets started.
Yeah, I just like you said, it doesn't make any sense. And, you know, those are all great additions. They are. My reluctance to put Houston on top is just I got to see C.J. Stroud do it all again. Like, you can make all these great moves, but the bottom line is the quarterback, no matter what team it is, has to perform great. And if he doesn't, then all those little additions that you made, you know, aren't going to pan out. So, I don't think C.J. Stroud's a bust by any stretch, but I got to see, he had a fantastic year. I mean, he had a great year if he was a six-year veteran, let alone a rookie quarterback. Now with the bullseye on their back, now with a first-place schedule, although the schedule's really not that daunting looking at it, but it just would not, you're not going to sneak up on anybody this year if you're the Houston Texans. And I just see them coming back to the pack a little bit. And again, as I pointed out, they didn't have 11 or 12 wins last year. They were 10-7. You know, nice right. season. Don't get me wrong. But it's not like they were overwhelmingly better than a lot of other teams. Should they get better this year? Should Stroud be theoretically better second year versus first? Yeah, but things went so well for them and for him in particular. I just have my doubts that they're going to be that effective this year.
Yeah, I would agree, Scott. I would agree. I think Houston's going to be a playoff team. I think the Texans are going to win double-digit games. I really do. I believe in this Texans team. I believe in C.J. Stroud. I believe in what D'Amico Ryans is cooking up in H-Town. But the idea that they run away then with the AFC South and that Jacksonville couldn't be a 10-win team, or that even Indianapolis couldn't charge 2-9 victories, making an easy walk-away path for the Texans or the Jags to win this division, I don't know. And I don't really think Tennessee, despite being pessimistic about the Titans the last 2 years and still not being overly high on Will Levis by any means, is just going to be a doormat. They never were a doormat under Mike Vrabel. We'll see what they look like under Brian Callahan, but I don't think it's like, okay, we've got three decent teams and one atrocious team that the you know, the six division games that Tennessee is going to play this year, they're going to be 0-6 or 1-5. I don't think it's going to be that easy to bake that in. And I will be interested, Scott, in the overall scheme of the AFC outside of the divisional champ. Does the AFC South get a wild card team in there if we have multiple teams with double-digit wins? Because you would often look at the AFC North first and foremost for multiple teams to make the postseason. The AFC East, if Aaron Rodgers is healthy, you would think they have three of the four teams contending for a playoff spot. What might Harbaugh do in his first year in LA along with Kansas City out of the AFC West? The AFC South has often been an afterthought. I'm not so sure that's the case.
Yeah, it really is weird. I mean, you have too many teams, right? I mean, you only have three wild card spots. So if they're not going to win the division with all those other teams, and you didn't even mention the Cleveland Browns, my kind of Cinderella team for right. them to turn things around, and, you know, not even turn around. They made the playoffs last year. What am I saying? I mean, who's not making it? You know, the debate normally is who's making it every year, right? Really, the AFC debate is who's not making it. Who out of, let's just say Buffalo wins the East, they always do. Let's say either Baltimore or Cincinnati wins the North. Let's say Houston, you know, does win the South, and then Kansas City clearly is going to win the West, right? I mean, you have the Chargers, you have the loser of Houston, Jacksonville, you have the loser of Baltimore, Cincinnati, you still got Miami, you still got Pittsburgh that made the playoffs last year. You still have Cleveland, and there's legitimately five or six teams, if you want to include the Colts in there, for only three spots. It's going to be crazy. Every game, Ben, you can't like poo-poo, even with 17 games, because these things are all going to come down to tiebreakers. And boy, you don't want to lose a game second week of the season to Jacksonville, we'll just say, if you're the LA Chargers, because in the end, that may come back to bite you in the butt.
For sure. And Scott, we often look at the end of the year at a game, week 15, where it's like, hey, these two teams in playoff contention could be a virtual elimination game, or week 17, week 18, whatever it comes down to. And we often disregard the game that was coughed up week 4 as a 6.5-point favorite at home. But those games, especially in the AFC, where Scott is right, tiebreakers are going to be a huge thing. We might see the in-the-hunt graphics that arise in late November, early December, feature 11 teams at a time, 11, 13 teams from a conference that is only 16 teams deep. You can't have any margin of error, it would seem, in the AFC with how much of a gauntlet and how competitive we expect this conference to be, really year in and year out and right now. Scott, we got some news out of Baltimore this week as well, as the Ravens are back on the practice field for OTAs. Of course, the Ravens have the second best price to win the AFC, only behind Kansas City. It's plus 490 for the flock, plus 370 for the Chiefs. That Lamar Jackson has slimmed down by about 20 to 25 pounds this offseason, checking in around 6'2", 205 now. What do you make of Lamar's new physique?
You know, he's gone up, he's gone down, you know, he's back and forth. This is like the third straight year where he's either gained weight or lost weight. 205, he says he wants to be more agile. You know, if you want to bet props, I put a little sticker in the back of your brain about maybe his over-rushing totals, because he plans on rushing the ball some. Got sacked a lot of times last year. I'd be a little leery, though. That's not big for a quarterback, Ben.
Yeah. I don't like the fact that we see slim Lamar Jackson, if I'm being honest with you. And we'll talk about it a little bit more on the other side of the break. Lamar, bulk up. It's bulking season next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Scott Wetzel and Ben Stevens.
Live right here on Football Full Circle. The reports out of the Charm City in Baltimore is that Lamar Jackson has slimmed down this offseason by about 20 pounds or so. Checking in now, reportedly at 6'2", 205. Lamar saying he wanted to slim down to be more agile, to move more. Of course, he is already one of the, if not the, most athletic quarterbacks in the National Football League. Scott, I don't know if I love it, though. I don't know if I like a slim Lamar Jackson. I don't think it affects his style of play, and maybe he's a little bit more fleet of foot, but that's not something I ever thought he was lacking of. And I'm not saying just because he has a little bit more bulk, he's not going to be injured or is more injury resistant. I just don't think he needed to slim down. Last year he won the MVP. If it ain't broke, don't fix it, Lamar.
Yeah, 37 sacks, though, Ben, in the regular season, 7 more in the postseason, I think, is what's causing this. You know, he seems to think if he gets a little quicker, then those numbers will go down. Maybe, you know, maybe if he throws the football a little faster, you know, maybe if he could read defenses a little bit quicker, right, then that would actually help, get rid of some of those sacks versus him being able to scramble around in the backfield. It's like, how fast can you be, right? I mean, you know, we all know they don't have as much shoulder pads and all the other stuff that other players have. You get one hit, you know, you keep on losing this weight, and you already sat out basically a season 2 years ago. You want to go through that again? So I don't like it either on the surface. I don't want him to be 240 pounds, but I don't want him to be, you know, a wide receiver. You're not a wide receiver. You're a quarterback, right? Accept the fact that you're a quarterback, please. You know, maybe then you'll get to a Super Bowl when you accept the fact that you have to, you know, throw the football to win games versus run the football to win games.
Yeah, listen, Lamar Jackson in 6 NFL seasons has won 2 MVP awards. The guy is doing something right. There is no doubt about it. Of course, Lamar Jackson's biggest critique is that lack of postseason success. 1 AFC championship game, now a 2-4 playoff record with the defeat against the Kansas City Chiefs. That is how he is judged. Once you hit a certain level of production, you are then judged based on what you can do from a certain point. Bringing your team to the playoffs, great job. Winning a divisional championship, fantastic. But when you have done that time and again, it's now the next stage. Can you win a conference title? Can you play for a Super Bowl? And can you hoist that Lombardi Trophy? That is now the evaluation piece and what we will judge Lamar Jackson by. I don't know, gaining weight or losing weight truly affects that outlook for the Baltimore Ravens. I just think Lamar was doing okay as he had. Year number 2 in this Todd Monken offense for Baltimore and Lamar. Last year he played in 16 regular season games. The year prior, just 12 in back-to-back seasons, really in 2021 and 2022. Health is a critical component, Scott, for every major superstar in the National Football League, but when there's been an injury history for some, especially at the QB spot, it becomes under the microscope just a little bit more.
Yeah, you got to stay healthy, and he has not been, and you got to have success in the postseason. Simple as that. You know, but he's only thrown. I get it. They haven't really been a throwing team, and they've utilized the run with him quite a bit. But he's thrown for 300 yards 7 times in his entire career. 7. I mean, that is really like Wow. Again, you could get away with some of this stuff in the regular season, but come postseason, you know, life on the line, close game, you got the ball, you got to be able to throw the ball down the field and get these drives, and that's just not been the case. And I don't know how losing weight is really, like I said, going to affect that. But I think it is based on, you know, he got sacked so many times last year, and he felt like, okay, he couldn't scramble around as much as he wanted to. I like I said, I don't necessarily buy that. I really don't. But if that makes him feel better, okay, knock yourself out.
Right. I guess it all is about your mentality and what you want to accomplish. And if there is science behind it, then go ahead and do what you need to do. Scott, speaking of player safety and health, interesting comments out of Roger Goodell. And this idea has been floated for the last few years that the NFL regular season, which expanded to 17 games and 18 weeks a few years back, might be moving even more. Roger Goodell this week saying that if they can get to 18 games, they might just do that. The exact quote from the NFL's commissioner was as follows. Quote, "We think that's a good trade. Less preseason games and more regular season games when discussing having an 18-game regular season schedule." Scott, what do you make of the potential of the NFL moving to 18 regular season games here rather soon?
Well, listen, you know, that's a great trade if you're a fan, right? Who wants to have three preseason games? But if you're a player, you're like, well, wait a minute now. Well, I'm not even playing in these preseason games. And if we are playing, meaning the starters, you know, we're playing a quarter at most. Now you're throwing a real game at us. I think eventually, Ben, they will. It makes sense. You know, you can't continue to do what they do now and rotate. One league has an extra home game, and then it goes back and forth. You know, you may say that's fair, but ultimately it really isn't fair for the teams that have the extra home game that year. It makes all the sense in the world to just, we add on an extra game, 18 guys, and we'll add on a bye. And that really, to me, encompasses, I think, everything. I think that would appease the players. The players are the ones that really got to accept this, right? I think the owners would take an extra game, absolutely. The networks would surely take an extra game. So it's up to the players. And giving them another bye, two byes, would that, you know, be able to get it done? I think it would. You know, it would expand the season a little bit. And you know, the Super Bowl in the NFL, they want to go further and further into February because February is basically a dead month. And if you have to do that because of this, that's okay. You know, there's enough games and enough teams that you could suffice, you know, two byes and a schedule. You really can. So I think that's the happy compromise.
Yeah, I think it's a great point, Scott. I think you would have to get double bye in there. You would have to have a double bye. And the NFLPA should sign off on whatever the CBA would be to allow this to be an 18-game and maybe 20-week regular season. But let's not mince words, as Scott alluded to. The fan would love it. The league would love it. The TV executives would love it. And that ultimately is the bottom line. Money. Money being the bottom line, as we are seeing with the NFL partnering with new television partners in the last few years, like Prime and now Netflix for the doubleheader of Christmas Day games. The reason that you could add on valuable inventory that is an 18th regular season game is because of the TV revenue it would generate. This is not done for player safety and health by any stretch of the imagination. It is done because it makes sense from a dollars and cents perspective. If the NFL can get money, they are going to get money. Whether you like it, agree, disagree, or hate it, it is really all that matters for the National Football League. We'll talk about that further up next here on FFC.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Scott Wetzel and Ben Stevens.
Live right here on Football Full Circle, it is FFC. So, Scott, the idea has been floated for a while, and once you start to put things in motion, they often become the reality of the situation. And what we are discussing here in specifics for the NFL is the expansion to an 18-game regular season. Scott had a great point, probably meaning 20 weeks of a regular season with less preseason games, if any preseason games whatsoever, because you would have a second bye bye week probably baked into that for each NFL team, which would make some sense and would probably appease at least the idea of player health and safety, if you want to call it that. But expanded to 18 games, player health and safety is not the first and foremost thought. The first and foremost thought is the cash grab that would come from that valuable piece of inventory to add on to television networks for TV rights revenue. Because ultimately, Scott, that's what it comes down to for the National Football League. You heard earlier in the show, during one of the commercial breaks, Roger Goodell talking about partnering with new television partners, naming Netflix because of their global brand, because of their global reach and audience. That is what the NFL kind of looks at first and foremost if any change is going to be made.
Yeah, it's amazing. There are a couple of things that the NFL has not really done lately, and one of the other ones, Ben, is we haven't had expansion in a while, right? I mean, Are there just not people that are interested? What would be the price, Scott? Probably $10 billion, literally, to buy in. But that would be another way. Like we talked about earlier about these salaries, they're not going down because the NFL is just going to make more and more and more money, whether it's this Friday night football game of the week or a Saturday night game of the week or expansion or leagues, divisions anyway, over in Europe. There's just more and more money. I mean, every time you turn around, they're making more and more money. So, yeah, 18 games, it makes all the sense. It does, so you have an even amount of games, whether it's nine and nine it would be for home and road rather than the rotating basis and all the other goofiness that goes on now. So I think it's just a matter of time, right? It's kind of like these wide receivers who haven't signed yet. They all know they're going to sign. It's just they want to have the other side blink. And with this, it's going to go to 18. It's not staying at 17. And it's, yeah, whether it's an extra buy, like I think it's going to be, but they just need to iron out the details.
Yeah. And that's what it's going to be, ironing out the details. And right now it's probably just details, and I'm sure there's some logistics we're not aware of in the collective bargaining agreement with any TV rights deals and how those contracts and negotiations are structured. But when you can make TV money, that is what the NFL is going to do. Scott, I looked this up today as we were discussing this on the early line. The National Football League last year for the 2023 regular season, just regular season, not playoffs, of course, not the Super Bowl, but just for the regular season, they averaged 18 million viewers per game. That includes every regular season game, not just prime time, not just those marquee matchups in the late afternoon window. Every game, an average across the 256 or 262, whatever it is now, of 18 million viewers. Even the standalone Thursday night football games on Amazon Prime, up from its opening year in 2022 to last year, 11.86 million viewers for those Thursday night football games. On the short weeks, at some times people think the product suffers because of it, and yet the NFL is still bringing in nearly 12 million viewers. To give that to a television network or a media company and say, we can guarantee you nearly 12 million viewers for a live event that is going to rake in just millions and millions, if not billions and billions of dollars of cash. And that's why an 18th regular season game versus a preseason game makes all the fiscal sense you could possibly need for the NFL to make it a reality.
To put that into perspective, Ben, the NHL announced yesterday, I believe it was, they were all giddy over this. They set records for viewership for the first and second rounds of the NHL postseason. And I love the NHL. So the average viewership was $1 million, or $1 million, 1 million people. And they were all excited about it. Like 1 million people for a playoff game compared to 12 to 18 million for a regular season NFL game. That just, when you talk about, how many people are watching, there you go. NHL, it's they were setting records for 1 million people on average. That would just be blown away and is blown away by the NFL. And the NBA is probably not far off either. So,
yeah, you're right. Scott, when you look at a graph or any kind of graphic of the top 25, top 50 live television events each and every year in the U.S., the NFL has 42 of the 50. Or 38 of the 50, and football often is the dominating factor. He's Scott Wetzel. I'm Ben Stevens. Football Full Circle returns tomorrow, noon Eastern time on Sports Grid Radio.
At Ability Chiropractic, we believe every child deserves to grow up healthy, strong, and connected to the incredible power within their own body. From infants to adults, our doctors specialize in purposeful chiropractic care that restores balance between the brain and body, helping you and your family live and heal the way you were designed to, naturally. Families across Columbus are choosing to build lifelong wellness from the start. Discover what true health feels like at Ability Chiropractic. Schedule your visit today at abilitychiro.com.
Moro Casino. American Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. American Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.